You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
I'd just like to welcome everyone here, but also welcome those online, whether you're still on holidays and watching from there, or you're just joining us for the first time. We just hope you have a great time watching, but also in here, I hope you've had a great morning, and let's see what God does this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for your word, and Father, I pray that you would go before every word that I say this morning, and they would be your words, and Lord, we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the last couple of weeks, we've had some great messages, and we had Aaron's message on endurance a couple of weeks ago, and then Andy last week, he spoke about higher goals. And one of the things that he said in the message, which I thought was fantastic, was that, am I putting my security in God above all else? And it really stuck with me since I heard that, and that's a great question for all of us, where our securities lie. And so if you haven't heard either of those messages, I encourage you to go to YouTube or go to the LMC website and you can hear both those messages. They're great messages to start the year. But this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, the vehicle that is the church. And if we got that first slide there. Today, I would like to talk about the church and the role we play. Because after all, the church is not the building walls, it is the people. The church is the people. And I'd like to draw some parallels from our six-month trip around Australia that we did a number of years ago, back in 2011. And I want to get to that in the message, but I just want to give some basis for it and just talk about the church for a few minutes before I do that. And I've just got basic sentences about the church, and then I'll just I'll describe what they are. And the first one is, the church is the people of God. In Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, and I really want you to soak in this fantastic scripture, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household. So if you're sitting in this room today and you are a Christian, you are a member of God's household. You might feel detached, but if you have made Jesus Lord and Saviour of your life, whether you feel like you're not part of it, you are actually part of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together, and it continues to increase, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, set apart, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. And I underline this next bit particularly on my notes here. It says, in him and in fellowship with one another, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That is an amazing scripture that talks about how the people of God come together and become part of God's house, but into a dwelling place of God's Spirit. This is a dwelling place of God's Spirit. And it is a really powerful thing that we are in this building, but God is dwelling here because of the people. It is a dwelling place for His Spirit. And God's Spirit changes things for the better. Changes lives, changes communities. So remember that you are part of God's household. The second thing I wrote down is the church isn't perfect. As in, people are not perfect. God is perfect. And so just turn to the person next to you and say this: God is perfect and you're a work in progress. Be nice. Be nice. We are perfect in Christ. Third thing I had here is the church, the people, has or have been commissioned by Jesus. We have a job to do. Matthew 28:18-20 reads like this: and Jesus came and said to them, all authority, not some authority, but all authority. This is what he said to his disciples: in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Not converts, make disciples. It's not just a process of they're saved. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all, not some, all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have a role to play and a job to do. Next thing I had is Christ is the head of the church, the vehicle of the church. Christ is the head. And it is his church. Remember, he said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. So it's not the people's church, it's God's church, and Jesus is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Not in some things, in everything. And preeminent simply means first. He might be first in everything. Is he first in everything in your life? The next thing I had was the church is God's chosen vehicle to outwork his purpose here on earth. His will on earth as it is in heaven. You know, over the years I've had, you know, when I was youth pastor and young adults pastor, I've had different people come and talk about, not necessarily this church, but the church, and say that, I don't know whether this is how God would actually want it to look. I'm not sure whether this is the way things would be with this happening in the church and that happening in the church. And you know what? I can't be 100% sure. But God has given the church the power to go into all the world and make disciples. And it may not be 100% spot on, but don't get disheartened, because it is made up by the people, and people aren't perfect, but we've just got to keep Jesus number one. With it being said that the church is the vehicle that God uses to outwork his purposes on earth, the church, just as there are different vehicles that look different, operate different, are varying in exactly what they do, they are not perfect, and yet they are all vehicles. And as we know, there is the church, the wider church, and then there are different churches that look different. Some of them operate a bit different, are varying in exactly what they do. They are not perfect. And let's be honest, according to what Scripture says about how a church should operate, occasionally some churches have lost their way. And I'm not calling judgment, but that's the reality of where things are at in the world. They can lose their way for different reasons, but primarily that happens because man's ways take precedence over God's design. And if you miss any, if you want to get anything today out of what I said, I need you to get this. Underline. It says, we always need to recognize that Christ at the head of the church and his word, he is the word as well, and his ways take precedence over man's. No matter how nice or how good man's ideas seem, God's word is above all else. He was there from the beginning. Jesus was there from the beginning. And the word was God and the word was with God. It takes precedence. And it should take precedence in our lives as well. And as we look on the signs, and I know we're in between, you know, vision for the year, but I just thought it was brilliant this morning because I had it written down. We are Life Ministry Church, living and ministering Christ. It's what I love about our church. It's a big statement to make, and I would hope that we outwork it through what God has given us to do. Now, some parallels from our trip. And so, thinking the vehicle is the church, I'd like to put up on the screen the picture, if we can, of a vehicle that we use to go around Australia. And that picture is near Fitzroy Crossing. It's at a place called the Boab Quarry. And I have good memories of it. That's a great car, by the way. That is a great car. That's the best car I've ever owned. I wish I'd never sold it. But, you know, you do some silly things in life. But that took us all the way around Australia. And it doesn't look 100% clean or anything, but that's part of the vehicle that we used. And it didn't miss a beat when we went around Australia. So the first point that I have, drawing a parallel of the vehicle being, the church being the vehicle that God has used, is that we need to check and maintain the vehicle according to the manufacturer's instructions. So if you are taking notes, we need to check and maintain the vehicle according to the manufacturer's instructions. Firstly, as the church. God, through his word, has given us guidelines on his church and whose job it is to oversee the vehicle. And from a wider point of view, but, you know, through division in the world, obviously, the church has divided over the years. And unity is such an important part of things. But it's important that we understand that, like in our church, in Life Ministry Church, let me speak for our church, the elders are the headship over the church under Christ. They are the overseers of what God has asked us to outwork. Paul said, as he farewelled the Ephesian elders in Acts, he said this, pay careful attention to yourselves, he's talking to the overseers, and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And so it is important, and you know, practically, the elders at this church meet once a month and go over different things about the church. And that's who God has put as overseers. And so the vehicle needs to be maintained. And so if it's not maintained to the manufacturer's instructions, things can go pear-shaped. And God has certainly, I don't want to go through it all now, but God has certainly given us clear instructions on how to do church in a meeting, but how to do church and how to be church. And so we are under God's authority in this church. But check and maintain the vehicle according to the manufacturer's instructions, both as the church and personally. We need to personally maintain the vehicle of us, the body, personal body. Psalm 139, 23, 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, that's one scripture. There's lots of scriptures in the Bible that talk about us needing to maintain our lives and to grow in God. So there's three things that I wrote quickly this morning that I felt we need to do. And, you know, these are things that practically help us. We need to read the Word. I don't need to go into it, but reading the Word is powerful. If you're not reading it regularly, every day would be my suggestion, then get into it. If you say it's dry, then say, "God, freshen this Word up for me." Secondly, meet with the believers. These aren't complicated things. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. That's why we meet together. We meet together in places like this on a Sunday, but this isn't enough. This is one opportunity a week. I encourage you to get in a life group or meet with some other believers regularly, because it's important that iron sharpens iron. And the third way that we can maintain the vehicle is to pray. We need to spend time in prayer, and all those things take time. And going back to what Andy said last week, am I putting my security in God above all else? So are those other things taking the time up that God would otherwise want us to spend with Him? So the next thing that I had for our trip round Australia, the people on the trip were all different. So if we can put that photo up on the screen, that would be fantastic. So this is the three boys, my three boys. I had three boys. Andy, I knew I had three kids before I left. You only thought two at one stage, but you had three. Okay, so they're my three kids. No worries. As you can see, they're all different. They're all very different. The middle one, you mightn't recognise him today because he's got blonde hair today. I don't know what he was thinking. But he had a good idea during the week. I don't know whether it was that good an idea, but anyway. The church is made up of different people. And it makes for interesting times. 1 Corinthians 12, well, I haven't got a scripture for it on the screen, but it says, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts are form one body." So things got interesting at times in our trip, just as things get interesting at times in church life. And we are called to be who God has called us to be as individuals. But we should be looking more like Christ every day. It's not our truth or my truth, it's God's truth that we should live under. And it's great to see the boys were all individuals, very much by that photo. And it's important that we are one body made up of many parts. So find out what God would have for you in life, because He is your creator. So the people that went were all different. The next thing I had was be an encourager. We travelled about 25,000 kilometres in our 6 months. We nearly got all the way around Australia. We missed the top part of Queensland. And did some long days travel. Anyone here done long days travel? Yeah, long days travel. I think the longest day we had that we travelled was about 1,500 or 1,600 kilometres. That was in one day. And I think that was going from the T intersection, coming down from, I think, Darwin, and then across to Queensland. And we ended up in Bundaberg at about, I think it was about 10:30 at night. We'd started early. But there were different stops that were needed from time to time. And I did probably 98% of the driving, I think. And for different reasons. But I needed encouragement to get through that day, I can tell you. And just as in church life, Sometimes we have some long days and we need encouragement. In our workplace, we need to encourage people. Our leaders and pastors need encouragement. Our life group leaders, our husbands and wives need encouragement. Our kids need encouragement. So whether it's at home, at work, here at church, be an encourager. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." There's a psychologist called Gottman, and he's a researcher. And I want to ask you a couple of questions in a minute. And he's a researcher on relationships, and he says he has found that he can estimate the possibility of divorce with a couple with 95% accuracy by spending 15 minutes with a couple. That's a pretty good 95%. He can predict it. So let me ask you this question and tell me, you don't have to tell me what you think, but just go through your mind what it might be. If positive things in a relationship are a kind word, a gentle touch, a smile, a fun activity together, and negative things include harsh comments, an eye roll, sarcasm, etc., my question to you is this: how many positive to negative things two people interacting together do you think a relationship needs to be travelling okay? So how many positive to negative things, interactions that people have together, do you think things need to be travelling okay? Anyone got a thought on that? What would it be? 50-50? Okay. What's that? 8 positive, 1 negative. All right. So here's the next question. How many positive to negative things would be evident for those on the brink of divorce? How many positive to negative? You don't have to yell it out. And the third thing is, how many positive to negative things would be evident in a thriving relationship? So if you have a thriving relationship, how many? Anyone got a number, what they think it might be? What's that? Okay. So here's what Gottman found. For a relationship to be travelling okay, it's 5 positive to 1 negative. For a relationship to be on the brink of divorce, it's 0.8 positive to 1 negative, not 1 to 1. And I don't want to put the pressure on relationships here today, so for those who you are married, okay, just see how much time's left in the day and see what you can do. It is 20 positive to 1 negative. So if you've already had a go at 3 negatives today, you've got 60 to go to make it up. I think I've made my point. Be an encourager in your life. You say, "Well, I find that hard." Ask God to help you. Let's have a culture of encouragement, at least in our church. But have a culture of encouragement at home as well. It might just change the world. You're the man. Thank you so much. That's only one. What's the next one? You've only given me one. I need 20 more. Okay, thanks, mate. Good job. So the next thing I had was no fighting in the back seat. So in our car, the car that we had up on the screen, it's an 8-seater car. Now, has anyone else here got 3 kids? Hands up. Anyone got 3 kids? Has anyone had them on the back seat lined up alongside each other when they're travelling? How easy is it? Well, we had two back seats in our car. So we could only have two kids on the back seat immediately behind the driver's seat, and then we had a little seat in the very back. And so every day we travelled, there was never three kids along the back because it was just a train wreck. It was an absolute train wreck. When you're travelling 1,500 k's, man, you need help if you don't have access to that back seat. And so ideally it would have been good for me to have more room in the very back of the car to put things, but we couldn't do that. And there were times when it even got tense between the two that were on the back seat directly behind us, and we'd have to move one of the kids. Be a uniter, not a divider. Don't be the person that gets moved to the back seat because you stir up trouble in church. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this: I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you might be united in the same mind and the same judgment. I didn't put this up here, and this is a tougher scripture. In Titus 3:9 to 11, it says, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Strong words. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to put him in the back seat, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. In church life, be a uniter, not a divider. The Bible says, oh, good and how pleasant it is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Last couple of things. Know your place in the vehicle. Don't be a backseat driver. I heard the definition of backseat drivers are people who find it necessary to give unnecessary, unwanted advice in the car and elsewhere. They are really just expressing their own insecurities, lack of faith in others or God, or reaction to feeling powerless. There are times in our life when there is nothing wrong with asking a question or warning when there could be trouble, but it isn't always helpful when it comes from the wrong spirit. And the last thing that I want to tie off today is this: make room for people along the way. I'm not advocating picking up hitchhikers, okay? That's not what I'm saying here. All right, so don't make up that Chris said pick up hitchhikers, because I didn't say that. We saw many different people along our journey in the 6 months, and you never know what people are going through in their life. And you could be the very thing that makes a difference in their life. I remember one guy in a place called Derby, which is up near Broome, and it was an interesting town, and we pulled into our campsite, and this guy was sitting out the front of his campsite, and he was on his own. He was just reading, and anyway, I said hello to him, and we started to get in conversation, and he said to me, so what do you do? And I said, well, I work at Bunnings, and part-time I'm a pastor. And he said, well, you wouldn't want to talk to me. And I said, why wouldn't I want to talk to you? I said, try me. He said, well, I used to be involved with church. And he said, and in the church that I was at, the pastor in the church had three affairs with three different women. And he said, so I'm now writing a book to disprove the Gospels. You never know what people have been through or are going through, how mean they are, how anti-God they are, but you just never know what a conversation might do. That's why it's one of the, so important for us as people to be, I don't want to say good Christians, but we want to follow after God in his ways and not be a bad example. We want to be a good example to those. Because there's many people out there who are not in church because they've had a bad experience with someone or leadership in a church somewhere along the line. Now, that's not always the other person's fault. But there's a higher calling on our life. And out there in the suburbs, there's a lot of people that need God. And so we need to make room for people along the way in our church. And so, Andy, as you come, I just want to finally finish with this scripture. And if any of those things have spoken to you today, I just want to encourage you, go and make it happen. Don't just let it be, oh, that was a nice thing that Chris said. Actually, deal with it. Deal with it in your home. Deal with it in your workplace. Any of those things. So they were, very quickly. Remember to check and maintain the vehicle according to the manufacturer's instructions. Recognize that all the people are different in church. Be an encourager. Don't be a backseat driver. Know your place in the car. And make room for people along the way. And so that first scripture, Richard, if we could put that up there that I had from Ephesians. I just want to read this again, and then Andy can come. Just got to find that scripture. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and it continues to increase, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, set apart and sacred to the presence of the Lord in him. And in fellowship with one another, you're also being built together into a dwelling place of God's Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for today, for your word. Help us to be who you've called us to be. Help us to live by your ways and your word. Help us to be example to those who don't know you or are maybe anti towards you, and live in a way that reflects your glory. And so we just give you thanks for each. I give you thanks for each and every person here and watching online. Change us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.